Well, good morning. You know,
not working?
Let's see.
I take the red one.
Not familiar with this one, sorry. Is that working? Okay.
I think so. Is it working, everyone?
Last summer, we went on vacation to Los Angeles. And on the last day, I packed up, we got in the car to come home. And I turned the key and nothing. Dead battery. There's a dead battery. And I'm like, oh, great. Was it the start of a bad day? Maybe you're like these people in these slides who are having a bad day. So this is what happens when you don't have correct change for the bus. Or maybe you just wash your car and then this. And they dump concrete on your car. Maybe you're driving down the road and you look in your side mirror and you see this. You know, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Or maybe this picture shows your life. It's like the world is laughing at you. You know, they just skip number 139. Sometimes it seems like life is against you. Are you having a bad week? Maybe a bad year or a bad life? Does it seem like your life is full of trials and troubles? Well, today's message is for you. Job was having a bad day. The worst day of his life. And let's look at Job 1:1. I know many of you are familiar with this story. In the land of Uz, lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among the people of the East. Many scholars believe that Job lived during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Job may have been the first book written in the Bible. When Moses, he did 400 years later. Job was the first billionaire. He was extremely wealthy. Plus he had 3 daughters and 7 sons. If a man had 7 sons, he would be considered blessed. He was blessed financially and physically. He was blessed emotionally and spiritually. And he loved God. And God loved this man. We can't read all the verses. I encourage you to read Job later this week. But we know the story. God bragged on Job to the devil. See how Job loves me? He shuns evil. But the devil says, ah, God, Job is in it for the money. He only loves you because you've given him everything he wanted. Take it away and he will curse you. So we see Job 1:9. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So God says, okay, you can take it all away. Because God believed in Job's integrity. Does God believe in you? And so we see a sequence of events in verse 13. It says the Sabaeans attacked and carried off the oxen and donkeys and killed the servants. Then in verse 16, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants. And then verse 17, the Chaldeans took all the camels and killed all the servants. All his material wealth and his servants were gone. No one wanted to work for Job anymore because they all got killed. He went from a billionaire to a zero in one day. Verse 18, a mighty wind destroys the oldest son's house and kills all 10 of Job's children. Job was a spiritually and morally upright man. Could any more suffering be more undeserved? But the Bible reminds us that bad things happen to good people. That's because we live in a sinful and broken world. Most of the time, our suffering comes from our own sinful actions and attitudes. When we live in opposition to God's will. But Job does not sin. So Satan goes to God and says, I'll make him suffer and he will curse your name. So God says, go ahead and test him. And verse Job 2:7 says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, are you talking like a foolish woman? Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
Okay.
约伯却对他说，你说话像愚顽的妇人一样，哎，难道我们从神手里得福，不也受祸吗？在这一切的事上，约伯并不一口犯罪。
When problems start piling up,
当问题一件一件的堆上来的时候呢？
I have learned to stop saying it can't get any worse.
牧师已经停止说，哎呀，会不会有更坏的事情呢？
Because it can.
因为它可以的。
I mean, Job's suffering was one right after the other.
那约伯的痛苦呢？一件的一件的排山倒海。
It was financial.
有精神上面的。
He lost everything.
他什么都没有。
It was emotional. His children died.And now he was suffering physically, miserably. See, when we're in trouble, when we suffer trials, we are tempted to sin. You know, maybe we'll tell a lie or a little lie to get out of a problem. Maybe we'll steal money from our employer or something like that to get by until we can pay it back. Maybe we'll cheat someone to get out of our problem. But Job did not sin. So how do you respond to trials and troubles?You know, they come in different ways and we respond to them in different ways. Many of you do this like this emoji, you worry. You're mental people. So when chaos, confusion, and conflict come,You worry, it makes your head spin trying to think through the problem. You know, you keep running scenario and scenario through your head trying to figure out what's going to happen. You ask the what if questions. What if this? What if that happens?What's going to happen next? And your worry becomes an obsession. You can't focus on anything because you're worried about everything. You know, you can't sleep, you wake up in the middle of the night because your mind is racing. So it affects the people you love and your work and your school.But Jesus told us not to worry. Matthew 6:25 says this, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and this body more important than clothes? Who are you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?Why worry about things you can't control or you can't change? See, for the believer, if we worry too much, it becomes an idol.We give it all our time and our energy with our mind. And worry never gives anything back. Worry will eventually lead to depression. Instead of worrying, we should look to God for answers. When we're walking through that valley of the shadow of death, we need to use God's compass. God's compass is His Bible. It tells us how to live, how to think, and how to feel. Or ask God to send you a guide. Another believer who has experience in your problems to help you. So the first response is we can worry. How many of you are worriers? You worriers? Come on, let's be honest. Okay, the second one is you can whine. See, some of you are emotional people. When chaos and confusion and conflict comes, it churns your stomach. It makes your heart ache. You feel like you're getting an ulcer when you whine and worry. Instead of saying, what if, you say, why me? Why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? You turn selfish and you turn inward. I don't mind counseling people and helping them with their problems. But if you're just going to come and whine, I really don't want to talk to you. Because a whiner only wants to whine about their problems and not seek solutions. You understand what I'm saying? They don't want solutions, they just want to whine. Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and deprived generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. As a believer, whining weakens you because you are not relying on God. Nothing changes when you resort to whining. You just drive everybody away. Instead of whining, you should ask God to show you what He wants you to learn from your trial and trouble. As you go through a trial and a bad experience, you look to God and say, God, what are you teaching me? How can I grow? How can I turn this around and help somebody? Okay, so many of you said you're not worriers. How many of you are whiners? You can raise your hand. Man, everybody's perfect here. I'm impressed. That means all of you are number three. You get all worked up. Some of you are physical people. When chaos, confusion, and conflict come, you want to explode. You lash out at anyone and anything. Now, I know how you Asian Chinese people are when you get angry. We don't show it right away, do we? We just call it an end. See, a lot of people, when they get worked up, they want to yell. They scream and swear and curse. They throw things, they punch the wall. Or they go out and get drunk. Now they just do something stupid. Maybe you're like this person who got worked up and beat up our shed. This is a shed between our building. And I think a homeless man just got angry one night and kicked it and punched it and dented it all up. And if you go on the other side, it's even worse. It's a sign of someone lost it. So I'm guessing it was a homeless man. Maybe it's Pastor Michael, I don't know. You know, he comes to me and he's frustrated. He tells me how bad you guys are. Goes out and beats up. No, I'm just teasing. James 4:1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. See, sin and selfishness fill your head and your heart. And it produces more conflict and no resolution. Job's wife just wanted him to curse God. Why did God leave his wife? I mean, she's telling Job, you're a loser. Just curse God and die. See, the devil wants us to quit on God. The world wants us to quit on God. But see, instead of lashing out at God, we should laugh out at sin. We should submit to God and rebuke the devil. So three of you said you're worriers. Two of you said you're whiners. The rest of you are just angry people. All worked up. But what should we be? We should be number four. You can worship God. When trials and troubles come, you simply worship God. Job 1:20. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground to worship, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And all this Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Our sinful nature says, run away from God. Our spiritual nature says run to God. Run into His open arms and hold on to Him. See, when you're scared, when you're terrified, when you're uncertain, be like a little child. When my little grandchildren get scared, they run to their parents' arms. They hold on to their parents. They won't let them go. When things are going bad, don't run away from God. Run to God and hold on to Him. They say that when you're out in the woods or out in the wilderness and you get lost, don't leave your car. Stay with your car. Don't try to find your way out. Because you'll wander even farther away and searchers won't be able to find you. But when you're lost mentally or emotionally, or physically or spiritually, stay with God. Worship Him. The farther you move away from God, the smaller God looks. That's a big problem when Christians walk away from God. He looks so small. Well, God can't help me anymore. Look at this picture of Piestewa Peak. When you're far away, it looks so small. But when you're up close at the base of the mountain, it looks huge. When you're holding on to God and you're up close, He's big. He's a big God. But when God's far away from you, He looks small and you won't turn to Him. See, are your problems bigger than your God? Or is your God bigger than your problem? My God is bigger than any problem or worry that I have. When the Israelites left the slavery of Egypt, they found themselves in trouble. They found themselves trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. And they were terrified. And so we see in Exodus 14:10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They are terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there is no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. The deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." They were worrying because there was no place to run. They were whining because they were going to die. And they were all worked up. They wanted to kill Moses for dragging him out into the desert. God said, be still. Look at God. God is going to fight for you. God is going to show you the pathway through the Red Sea. God is going to answer your prayers. But you have to be still and look to God. Claim the promise of God. See, when we're worked up and we're excited, we need to calm our head and our heart. We need to calm our hands and go to prayer. We need to stop thinking and overthinking our problem. We have to stop grasping for that magic feeling that will make us feel like everything's going to be okay. We need to stop working harder and harder thinking we can work our way through our problems. You need to slow down and listen to God. Take a breath. You know, I get worried and I get whiny, I get worked up all the time. But I've learned that when I'm getting excited and I can't think, I need to calm down. So I sit down in my office. I take a slow, deep breath. Then I slowly exhale. And then I do it again. Then I imagine as I'm breathing in, I'm breathing in the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. And I'll just sit there and say, Lord, I'm breathing in your presence. I'm breathing in your spirit to consume my body. And then as I'm exhaling, I'm imagining I'm breathing out my fears and my frustrations. I breathe out all that negative feelings. All right, everybody do this with me. Take in a big, deep breath. And then exhale. Do it again. Big deep breath. And then exhale. I keep doing it until I am calm. Until I have visually breathed in the Spirit of God and breathed out the sins. And then I look to God. Only then can I look to God. See, when your head is clear, you can see God's pathway. See, those Israelites couldn't see the pathway through the Red Sea until they were calmed and they looked to God. If you're going through that valley of the shadow of death, God will show you the way. And as you walk with God over a few days, you will gain insight and understanding of God you never knew. You look for a guide, a believer who's been through your same problem. And whatever trial you've gone through, you can become a guide to help somebody else going through that problem. When you're still and you look to God, you gain many things. You gain strength. You gain wisdom. You gain confidence. You experience God's love. You know, sometimes God just speaks to us in a whisper, so we have to be still. Oftentimes you realize your problems really aren't that bad. We allow our emotions to make them bigger than they are. We realize that God is much bigger. Sometimes we just need to ask as we go through this or we've gone through it, God, what are you teaching me? How can I become more like Jesus? God, I want you to use what I'm learning today to help someone else, to guide them through their pain and problems. In time, Job's health was restored. God made him even richer. And he gave him 10 more children. That was his wife's punishment. She had to have 10 more children. In the end, Job had a greater and deeper sense of who God was. See, when we worship God during difficult times, we will gain a greater and deeper sense of who God is. And that's a richness you cannot imagine. You will triumph over your trials. So I ask you today, are you ready to stop worrying? Are you ready to stop whining and getting all worked up? Time to let all that go and just worship God. That's why every day you have a quiet time when you're still and then you look to God. You know, the Bible teaches us that we cannot sincerely worship God until we've trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit has come into our life to connect us into God in ways we cannot understand. So if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus, I encourage you to put your faith in Him today. And if you're a believer in the Lord, just worship God every day. Let's pray. Father, we know that you want us to be, you want us to focus on you. So Father, we just ask forgiveness when we sin against you. You know, we know that worrying and whining become idols and that we sin against you when we continually do this. Father, we just pray that you help us to worship you. That we walk with you. And we do your work. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.